I'm sitting right in front of the beautiful cross. You can see the flowering of the cross behind me. The flowers, you see them over there, they are mostly from the church garden. It's beautifully decorated, and we want to celebrate our Easter Sunday together, wherever you are. There's a book called The 1001 Humorous Illustrations for Public Speaking. It carries this humor. A salesman driving on a lonely country road one dark and rainy night had a flat. He opened the trunk. There was no rock wrench. He headed into the driving rain toward a dimly lit farmhouse. Surely the farmer would have a rock wrench he could borrow, he thought. Of course, it was late at night. The farmer would be asleep in his warm, dry bed. Maybe he wouldn't answer the door. And even if he did, he would be angry at being awakened in the middle of the night. Even if the farmer did answer his knock, he would probably shout something like, "What's the big idea? Wake me up at this hour." This thought made the salesman upset. What right did that farmer have to refuse him the loan of a log wrench? After all, here he was, stranded in the middle of nowhere, soaked to the skin. The farmer was a selfish clod, no doubt about that. The salesman finally reached the house and banged loudly on the door. A light went on inside, and a window opened above. A voice called out, "Who is it?" His face white with anger. The salesman called out, "You know very well who it is. It's me. And you can keep your blessed log wrench. I wouldn't borrow it now if you had the last one on earth." Until the salesman banged on his door, he never met this farmer. He never had any way of knowing how the farmer would respond to someone like him in a desperate need. His fear, of course, was baseless. If the salesman did not fear, he could have gotten the help he needed without pointless stress and anger. Fear certainly could fabricate a wrong imagination, and a fake reality out of fear would needlessly hamper our lives. We know what had exactly happened on Easter morning. But people at the tomb had no understanding of what was behind the shocking event. A violent earthquake not only shook the ground, but also hearts of those at the tomb. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled the stone, and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. This mystical phenomenon terrified the guard so much that they became like dead men. Well, they were non-believers. It was why they were so frightened. How about those devout women at the tomb? The Bible gave several indications that those women, too, were very afraid. Look how the angel greeted. "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. See also how the risen Christ greeted them. Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me. Those women were not just ordinary believers. The 27th chapter of Matthew noted that at the site of crucifixion were many women watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his need. Among them were Mary Magdalene. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's son. Mark's account agrees with Matthew's. Mark 15 identifies that Salome as the mother of Zebedee's son. And John 19 identifies that the other Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, was Jesus' aunt, meaning Mary, Jesus' mother's sister, and the wife of Clopas. Matthew 27 says that after Jesus was buried, Mary Magdalene, Mary, Jesus' aunt, were making sure of where Jesus was buried. Matthew 28 says that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, who went to the tomb on Easter morning. But Mark 16 says that the same group of women who were at the scene of crucifixion, Mary Magdalene, Jesus' aunt, and Salome, bought spices and went to the tomb to anoint his body. Jesus cast out 7 demons out of Mary Magdalene, according to Luke 8. Jesus literally transformed Mary Magdalene and gave her life. We can see how she became a devout follower of Jesus. And the other Mary was Jesus' aunt, and in a way, blood related to Jesus. Salome was the mother of the 2 top disciples, John and James. She was very enthusiastic and once asked Jesus to make her sons great. Many women traveled with Jesus and his disciples and supported them out of their means. But those 3 were more prominent and dedicated than all the other women. It is very clear that those ladies at the tomb were in the inner circle of Jesus and very much committed followers of Jesus. We see how brave those ladies were when all male disciples shamelessly ran for their lives. They were there in Calvary. They went to the tomb when Jesus was buried, and they came back to the tomb on the 3rd day. The point is, no matter how strong their faith was, they still had fear. The fear of death. Their beloved teacher died. Fear of facing predicaments of life by themselves. Our faith may not be as strong as those devout women, but to a degree, we have a similar kind of faith. As they feared, we too have fear. One obvious fear we all have today comes from this pandemic. The entire world, in fact, fears the health risk. Yes, we need to be cautious and wisely take all necessary measures to prevent the spread of virus. But it does not mean that we need to live in fear. Believers are called not to fear anything and anyone but God. I look up the word fear in the Bible. three books that use the word the most are the Book of Psalms, Proverbs, and Isaiah. Many Book of Psalms and Proverbs speak that the believer should not fear except God. Isaiah basically says the same. Live in fear of the Lord. And we are familiar with these following words from Isaiah chapter 41. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Do not be afraid, you warm Jacob, little Israel. Do not fear, for I myself will help you. Jesus defeated the power of sin and death and rose again victoriously. The risen Christ is with us. Where we are today is the very place of resurrection, the place of victory, the place of God's presence. The question is, are we allowing fear to take over our hearts and lives as the women did? Fear does a lot of funny things. When people allow fear to take over, it gives them a wrong imagination and makes them disoriented. In fear, those women came to the tomb and looked for the dead body of Jesus. They had no idea that they were at the historic site of resurrection. The tomb was empty, and Jesus already rose from the dead. They could not grasp the reality of resurrection, though. Fear was just the condition of mind. Their true reality was that Jesus was risen. But fear took control over their minds and mental capacity and blinded their eyes to behold the resurrection. The angel who first witnessed the resurrection of Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid." Soon after, the risen Christ appeared to them and spoke to them the same word, "Do not be afraid." And this is the same message that Jesus speaks to you and to the entire world on this Easter morning. Do not fear. I am with you. Overcoming fear of the virus is a real challenge for everyone. It is like we are standing at the tomb. We fear the news of casualties, including medical professionals. So many have died and so many more are suffering from the virus. But in this tomb-like situation, we should not yield to fear because Christ is alive and he has become our hope. No matter how depressive the situation may seem, Christ is our eternal hope. A book titled Ruth, The Romance and Redemption carries a heartwarming story of hope. There was a gifted professor of music named Herman who taught piano at the college level. One night at a university concert, a distinguished piano virtuoso suddenly became ill while performing a very difficult piece. No sooner had the artist retired from the strange stage than Herman rose from his seat in the audience, walked on stage, sat down at the piano, and with great mastery, completed the performance. At a party reception later that evening, one of the students asked Herman how he was able to perform such a demanding piece so beautifully without notice and with no rehearsal? He replied, "In 1939, when I was a budding young concert pianist, I was arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp." Putting it mildly, the future looked bleak, but I knew that in order to keep the flicker of hope alive, that I might someday play again, I needed to practice every day. I began my fingering a piece from my repertoire on my bare board bed late one night. The next night, I added a second piece, and soon I was running through my entire repertoire. I did this every night for 5 years. It so happens that the piece I played tonight at the concert hall was part of that repertoire. That constant practice is what kept my hope alive. Every day I renew my hope that I would one day be able to play my music again on a real piano and in freedom. We are involuntarily homebound and cannot worship God at church, even on this Easter morning. But nothing can restrict our faith. Nothing prevents us from worshiping God. Nothing prevents us from praying. Serving God and reaching out to others may be done in different fashions, but we still serve God and share the love of Christ with others. Though homebound, we keep on practicing our faith every day, like the pianist practice on the bare piano board. Overcoming fear by trusting in the Lord, and keep your hope alive. And soon, the day of liberation will arrive at our doors. Amen.